Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. Dr. Patricia Green is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's dean of the undergraduate program at Babson College. She is one of the sharpest and most well-read and well-researched entrepreneurial minds on the planet. She's our good friend, Patricia Green. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's good to be back.
Patty, it's great to have you back, as always. And remind me that now the title of the book...
Clearing the Hurdles, Women Building High-Growth Businesses.
Exactly, and that's what we're going to talk about today, women entrepreneurship globally, right? Not just in the United States, but around the globe.
That's what I'd like to talk about.
Because you've been doing a lot of research on that, haven't you?
We have. We've been expanding the work we've been doing in the United States and partnering with researchers from about 15 other countries, all to look at issues of not just women starting businesses, but women growing businesses.
What do you foresee... for women entrepreneurship in the 21st century?
Even more involvement. I mean, continuing to start businesses of all different kinds of sizes, but also women having larger businesses on an increasing scale.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we'll see in a lot of places.
In the U.S., let's get a couple of stats out there because I think it's important to point this out. In the U.S., more than 40%, and this number is with a bullet, as the record people say, are women-owned.
It's true. You just watch that definition about whether it's 50 or 51%, but it's getting real close to half when you put those two categories together.
So I got to get over. I got to shed the 40% number. That's old news, isn't it?
Well, again, it's that definition. If we're talking about owning 51%, you know, that's
right.
One number.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
But if
mm-hmm.
it's the half and half, then you get real close to 50
real
when you put them
50.
Together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about women. Internationally, what are mm-hmm. you finding out is happening in other parts of the world with regard to women business ownership?
Well, there's two projects going on right now. Well, there's lots of projects, but the two I'd like to mention are one that comes out of the GEM report, and I know you like talking about GEM.
Well, Zoltan has been on. I've been telling my audience about the Global Entrepreneurial Monitor since it came out the first time in 99, which I know Babson College is very much involved in that.
They have been one of the founders, but they're taking it to a slightly different area right now. And Nan Langowitz, who's the director of Babson Center for Women's Leadership, and Maria Manidi, who's one of our economics professors, just released a report on GEM that's about women. And I think you might love to have either one of them on your show
one
day.
I very much would. Would you let's make sure that we, if you don't mind helping me, I'll get you or Zoltan, either one, to help us with that. But we like talking about these things. But what about women? Here's an area that I'm very much interested in, the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how women issues across the board have been advanced in the last 2 years in the Middle East. Do you see anything significant over there like I do?
No, absolutely we do. In fact, I work with a doctoral student who's currently working with women business owners in Afghanistan, and she came back and spent 2 weeks in a course here at Babson talking about women and how they try and start businesses and how different societies, different cultures lead to different entrepreneurial practices and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of activity.
Is she excited about what's happening for women in Afghanistan?
Very much so. Very much so. A lot of activities and trying to figure out how to make women's entrepreneurship work in different kind of cultural and societal contexts.
In some parts of the world, women entrepreneurship is basically it's basically tantamount to survival, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We had Dr. Yunus, founder of the Grameen Bank, was here on campus a few weeks ago for our a special event we had on campus,
mm-hmm.
and it's just stunning to hear him talk again about survival techniques and the kind of difference very, very, very small loans can make in the lives of not just individuals, but their families, their communities, the whole economies.
Well, you know, I heard a story about, I read a story about women entrepreneurship in Africa, and I'm trying to remember the name of the, Bali, I think, Mali, in Africa, about a woman who made peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came up with a peanut butter crusher that allowed her to not have to bang out the peanuts all day long to make the peanut butter that she sold to get the money to feed her family. And so they brought a crusher around, and that they gave her back almost her whole day.
It's really amazing the kinds of innovations that can be done that are not just new products, but new ways to do things, to put
right.
things together.
And that's intermediation services like that crusher.
Yes.
Folks, that's a survival level of entrepreneurship that's on one end of the spectrum, but then they go all the way to the other end of the spectrum where we're talking about major international corporations. So women's entrepreneurship is really growing around the world. We're going to talk about this some more with our friend Dr. Patricia Green right after these messages. We're back at 17:10. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Patricia Green, the Dean of the undergraduate program at Babson College. That's the undergraduate entrepreneurship program, I guess. Is that right, Patty?
Actually, it's the undergraduate school.
The school. Yeah. And I didn't mean program. To say program.
Yeah, that's all right.
And folks, as I said before, one of the top experts in entrepreneurship around the globe. We're talking about women entrepreneurship. And what are you seeing in China, Patty? What's happening over there?
Again, a lot of increased interest. In fact, and we had great news this week that they're going to be translating our Clearing the Hurdles book into Chinese.
Congratulations.
We're very excited about that. And we expect to be over there sometime in the probably mid to late fall.
All
but
right.
It seems to be a huge amount of interest in learning more. Again, not just about starting, but also about growing.
Well, what is the attitude about women business ownership in China? Do you know?
A lot of enthusiasm, but a lot of uncertainty as well.
Are there cultural challenges for the women over there?
Well, there's cultural differences. You know, whether they turn out to be challenges or advantages, we have to sort of wait and see how it all plays out.
Well, I mean, would it be? Do you think it would be as significant there as it has been, say, in Afghanistan or Iraq?
I think it has the potential to be. I really do.
Yeah.
One of our latest projects is we actually did just finish a book that we worked with research teams from 15 different countries around the world, all looking at how women grow businesses and sometimes looking at access to capital, to the financial capital. And it's just amazing to see the same kinds of questions and challenges coming up in country after country after country.
That women had here for a number of years.
Yes.
And in the United States, and maybe in some places are still having.
Well, it's true. And remember, we really talk about them as hurdles in that they're challenges that are faced by anybody that wants to grow a business. It's just that sometimes the hurdles are different sizes for different groups.
Exactly. Well, and you know, in the United States, we sort of... We have it kind of, even though it's getting capital for our businesses is really tough in the United States, it's really not anything like what people have, the problem people have in other countries, is it?
It's very different by different countries. I mean, some of the other countries that we work with, some of the Scandinavian countries are very tuned into this, but they have different kinds of cultural questions about, you know, starting businesses as well. Different kinds of tax structures make a big difference.
Right.
I
interviewed a lady in Sweden, in Stockholm, a mm-hmm. couple of years ago who owned a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me about the challenges she had in just getting a bank account opened.
Yeah. Stockholm, actually, it's a group out of Stockholm that funds a lot of our research with Babson.
Right.
It's ESBRI, Entrepreneurship, Small Business, and Research Institute.
Right.
So
but
we'll then, be in Stockholm
you mentioned
in
their
October.
You mentioned taxes. They've got... horrible tax system in Scandinavia.
Well, it's a system that doesn't lend itself well to entrepreneurship.
Mm-mm.
And you can see a difference. If you take everything else and put it in a different country and change the tax structure, you'd have different entrepreneurship numbers, potentially.
Right. What does all this mean to women entrepreneurs in the United States? What is the work, the research that you're doing on women entrepreneurship globally, what does that mean? How does it benefit women in the United States?
I think it helps them take a good look at what they've accomplished so far and feel pretty good about that, but also recognize that this is a big institutional issue and we need to pay attention to it. So I think it both drives the enthusiasm and maybe the commitment as well.
What about trade? I mean, one of the things that I try to encourage all small business owners to focus on is international trade. Don't just think about your customer across the street or even across the state or even across the country. With the internet and with the technology that we have today, we should be trading with people all over the world. And do you think it makes American women business owners a little more excited to be an international trading company if they knew that they could match up with ladies in those other countries?
Well, you know, Jim, you're getting to one of my soapboxes, is that I think a lot of times women shy away from things because they think they're going to be harder or too different or take even more time that they don't have. And it really is the difference. If they learn that they can be in great networks, there are a number of international organizations they can participate in and meet these women. They can build those relationships, and women businesses do really well with relationships.
Well, one thing that I know that I want to say to the guys, if there's one thing I know about ladies is they like to get together and network. And I can see all kinds of international women's organizations getting together, and if we don't pay attention here, guys, we're going to be in the minority as business owners before long. What do you think, Patty?
Well, I think you're right. The networks work really, really well, and I think women business networks are a really good place to start, but I think that women should remember that they need networks with all kinds of people
right
in them as well.
Right. But there is something about how women work together to help each other. They seem to be better at that than men are. What do you think?
I think there's some evidence that that's true, and we like to think that it's true, but sometimes we're just not quite sure how true that really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It sounds really good.
Well, I actually have see it on an anecdotal basis. I see this out there with women who support each other. They're a lot more. And the reason I say that is women are a lot more willing to say, I don't understand this. Can you explain this to me? They're a lot more likely to say that than men are.
That actually, I mean, there's good research that supports that.
Yeah.
They do use their mentors and their advisors. They use them better. Sometimes they just need to be sure they have the right mentors and advisors. Again, those that, as you said, will help them think about larger markets, going global, those kinds of issues.
Right, absolutely. Patty, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to have another visit, one more segment with our friend Dr. Patricia Green. She's the dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College. Give us the Babson College website, Patty.
www.babson.edu.
All right. Quick break, 10 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Patricia Green, the dean of the undergraduate school at Babson College. And we're talking about women entrepreneurship around the globe. Patty, I'd like for any ladies in my audience, and any guys who want to see what the ladies are up to be able to go to some places online and find out more about research that's being done in this area, and maybe pick up some tips that would help them to grow their business more successfully. I know that the work that you're doing, they can find, and I want you to tell us where we can find that, and then I know you know some other places we can go.
I'd probably start out with three places. One is on the Babson website, www.babson.edu. If you go into entrepreneurship, there's a whole area there for research. It covers 25 years of a conference that we've been having about entrepreneurship research. So there's plenty of things to find there. Another one for the Diana Project, which is specifically women's entrepreneurship, interesting enough, is on a Swedish website because they sponsor us.
We've had those ladies on the show before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. www.esbri.se. And when you click on Diana, it will come up in English. So if you're not fluent in Swedish, you still can get it okay.
Could we Google Diana Project, you think, and get there?
Yes.
If we didn't write
absolutely
that out? Okay. All right.
And then, one of the biggies is the Center for Women's Business Research, which is www.womensbusinessresearch.org. And they have their annual executive roundtable coming up on April 27th in New York.
You're going to be there, aren't you?
I'm going to be there. There's a lot of us going to be there. And I think they still have room for people that would be interested. But it's a great, great way to learn. Yes, it's in New York City.
The last week of April. And the website again for that one?
www.womensbusinessresearch.org.
Okay. Now, what do you think if someone was out there listening right now thinking, okay, well, what's in that for me? What would be the benefit for me going there? What would you say, Patty?
I think the biggest benefit is what you mentioned. It is the networking, meeting women at all stages of starting and growing businesses, and women from large companies to talk about what does it take, what can I do, and also do business with each other. So you learn about everything that the center's learned over the last year from their research, and then what do you do with it? You learn how to apply it.
Are women a woman's approach to business similar because they're women on one side of the globe as opposed to the other side? Are you seeing similarities there?
Yes, actually we are. We're seeing similarities in networks. We're seeing similarities in motivations, in some outcomes, in the kind of businesses they start as far as industries. So there are some similarities. There are some differences, too, but there's probably more similarities than differences.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Patty, and I know you. I know you and I are friends, and you won't hurt me too badly if I saw myself off here.
Okay.
But it seems to me that one of the really good things about women is that they're willing to say, you know what, I don't understand this. I wish you would help me. Could you please help me to understand this? Help me out here. Whatever. They're willing to say they don't know something. Men, not so much. But on the other hand, that same attitude sometimes causes them to lack confidence. Now, that's the limb I've put myself out on. Help me out here.
No, I think you're safe on that limb. I really do. A lot of women talk about not being confident, being concerned about how they're perceived as business owners. And on one hand, while they are willing to ask questions, on the other hand, they are concerned about looking like they don't know something that they think everybody else knows.
Right.
What they need to realize is, you know, everybody's got questions about these issues.
But see, that's a big thing that guys don't get. I mean, guys are bad about this. This is one of the areas that I think takes a lot of men down in their business, because they're not willing to say, they actually believe that they're the only people who don't know this, and they won't ask for help. And that's where ladies succeed, because they will ask for help.
Jim, are you telling me men don't like to ask for directions?
I didn't say anything about directions. I'm not talking about it. Now you're out on your limb there.
Sorry.
I'm not talking about directions. I'm talking about help in their business. And that's one of our goals for this show and for all the things that we do is to help people get them this information so they don't have to ask. They can actually just read or listen. And I know that's what you guys do too.
No, I think you're right. I think being able to give up the idea that you have to know everything is one of the most freeing stages you can go into.
No question about it. Patty, we got to wrap it up, but it's always fun to have you here. Will you come back another day?
I'd be delighted, Jim, anytime.
Congratulations on all the work that you do. Give us the title of the book again.
Clearing the Hurdles, Women Building High-Growth Businesses.
And it's babson.edu, babson.edu. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Patty
Jim.
Green, Dr. Patty Green, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.